Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Raleen Marks with the Israel Report. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I think better than yesterday. And yourself?
Yeah, well, I was telling listeners earlier that we got tremendously positive feedback from yesterday's discussion, even though it was quite a difficult one. We went through the anti-Semitism in the UK, the United Nations separating Israel from the Temple Mount, from Jerusalem, separating Jews rather from Jerusalem and the history there, as well as the other negative conversations that we had, the Hebron near lynching. So it was a difficult one, but these are important conversations to have. There are also other sides and other important conversations, and that is the positive about what is going on in Israel. And one of the things I wanted to ask you is to talk about is Miss Universe, because although we see here in South Africa a tremendously labored effort to make it as negative as possible, the truth is it's a very, very positive story.
It is a positive story. And, you know, no matter where you stand on the issue of beauty pageants, are they relevant? Aren't they relevant? Should there be a swimsuit session in Miss Universe? It does offer a young woman representing her country the opportunity to meet her counterparts from around the world. And should she be successful in being crowned Miss Universe, you know, it's not just about modeling and beautiful outfits, although that's a wonderful benefit. It's also about the incredible humanitarian work that she gets to do and to use this tremendous international platform to speak about issues that are close to her heart, to be an ambassador for important issues. I know that Miss Universes are often asked to be global ambassadors on issues that pertain to children's rights and women's rights. The 1st of December was also World International AIDS Day. It's an opportunity to talk about issues like that. And you know, we often forget that sometimes with regards to roles like Miss Universe or UN ambassadors in certain causes, royalty, their job is more of a soft diplomacy. They bring tremendous, tremendous international focus to important issues. And this is why these are important pageants or ideas or existences. Is that a word even, Howard? I don't know if existence is a word.
I don't know.
But these are important occurrences today. And, you know, we live in a very, very topsy-turvy world. We know that the world is almost upside down off its axis at the moment. And we need positive stories like this. And we need important causes to be highlighted. And this is what beauty queens essentially get the opportunity to do. I think even Miss South Africa in her own country will be able to talk about issues that are important to herself, whether they be women's issues, literacy issues, health issues, children's issues, gender-based violence, which is a major, major issue for women around the world. This is the opportunity that they get to speak about.
So what happens, what is the process in Israel? Because we're seeing that the competitors are all over the country, they're meeting, they're visiting. What happens over this period? How long are they there for?
Well, the pageant's on the 12th of December. So in the last, I'd say, two or so weeks, contestants have been arriving. The reigning Miss Universe, who's Miss Mexico, has arrived. She was gifted from LL Airlines. We are learning about today a beautiful Magen David ring with Am Yisrael inscribed, which she's wearing quite proudly, which is important for us as a country and also important for us as Jews, because yesterday we had very, very uncomfortable, sad, but very important discussions about anti-Semitism. And this is Israel's opportunity to introduce these young women to our country, to get them to see the beauty of our country, that we are a country beyond a conflict that is talked about obsessively in the media at the expense of other conflicts. And also to, for many of them, they would not have interacted with Jewish people before or Israelis before. Look, I mean, there's positives, negatives.
Yeah, I was just going to say, can you not keep them away from some Israelis, Rolene? I don't know. I don't mean to be rude or anything, but...
But still, I mean, we say that in jest, but it's their opportunity. Many of them are devout Christians. It's an opportunity for them to explore holy Christian sites. We have, for the first time in 43 years, Miss Morocco is here, a beautiful testament to the Abraham Accords. We have Miss Bahrain competing for the first time ever. She is here, which is, again, such a beautiful symbol of the growing peace between our two countries. Miss South Africa, we're all familiar with the controversy around Miss South Africa, who has just won hearts all over this country for her incredible courage, standing strong and steadfast in the face of anti-bullying.
I wanted to ask you that, Rolene. It's obviously a very big story for South Africa because of the, as I say, the labored and deliberate attempt to wind up this negative hate. Well, hate's always negative, this hate towards Jews and Israel. So it's really been a massive attempt. So it's a big story for us. In Israel, is it a big story as part of the Miss Universe competition that this young woman has bravely stood up to the bullies and did what she felt was the right thing to do?
It's a massive story here. It's a massive story here for two reasons. One is the perpetual attack on Israel from elements of South Africa. And it's important to note that it's not all South Africans, because I've seen the overwhelming support for her across the board from South Africans, proud of her, proud that she's here to represent South Africa in the Miss Universe pageant. Unfortunately, it's a very, very vocal element of South African society that seems to have this sway in government issues. Bearing in mind, Miss Universe is not a political entity at all. In fact, it's vehemently non-political. But also there's the other element of misogyny. The Israeli media are looking at this, that here you have an incredible woman, beautiful, articulate, brilliant, a lawyer who has worked very, very hard to achieve her goals, has this opportunity to represent her country and talk about the issues that are important to her, come and learn for herself, interact with other women, and you have a government or parts of a government that are so mired in hatred and a counterproductive narrative that they are hell-bent on bullying her out of it. You know, I'm of the opinion that anybody who's scared that somebody comes to visit Israel is terrified that they will see for themselves that the lies that they are peddling are in fact just that, they are lies. If you are so confident in your argument that Israel is a fascist, terrible, racist, apartheid state, then by all means, let people come and see that
absolutely
for yourself. But
I mean, are we afraid that somebody goes to see Iran and might change their mind and think that Iran is a humanitarian state? No, we're not afraid of that, because we know exactly what will be seen there. If anything, it's the other way around. North Korea doesn't want visitors. Iran will not want people coming to see what's going on there because they're afraid. Israel is doing exactly the opposite. It's saying, come, we will show you, or you can go and see for yourself. We don't need to manage this. And that, but you know, Rolene, the level of cognitive dissonance in all of this is where you have these big male liberals bullying a young black woman only can occur when Israel or Jews are the context. It would never be allowed. Can you imagine the screaming and shouting if a woman was being bullied in the way, and especially a woman of color, being bullied in the way that this young woman has been bullied by many men in South African media and press? Can you imagine the level of accusations if it wasn't about Israel and Jews? It would be the bigger story.
Well, of course, we can't detract from the fact that there is a racist element here, as well as a misogynist element.
There's no doubt.
I mean, we like to talk about the fact that the future is women, the women's movement is rising, the Me Too movement, the Time's Up movement, but here you have a young woman, and it's men that are trying to silence her. But as you say, Howard, if Israel is such a terrible racist, apartheid, fascist state, whatever else they want to hurl at us as accusations, by all means, encourage people to come and see it. But you know what the issue is? That many delegations have come here expecting to see this horrible racist apartheid state, and they have seen exactly the opposite. We are not without our flaws, and show me a country in this world that is perfect and without issue, and I will not wear stiletto shoes for a week. But the fact that they are terrified that people are going to see that Israel is this robust, diverse democracy. Also, while we're talking about misogyny, they bullied another woman of color, and that is Miss France. Miss France tested positive for COVID, and you have Africa for Palestine, and you have BDS Zimbabwe saying, oh, well, looky here, almost wishing ill health upon her.
It's quite remarkable. The one story that is a bit crazy is that Tel Aviv is now the most expensive city in the world. Is this true?
It unfortunately is true. Not a great look at Tel Aviv. But yes, Tel Aviv has just been ranked the most expensive city in the world. And they attribute this to the shekel gaining major strength against the greenback in recent weeks. It has stabilized, but also rising costs of transportation and groceries, and also the fact that the global pandemic has disrupted supply chains. So the cost of things has increased quite dramatically. But come on, Tel Aviv, we have to do better than that.
Absolutely right. But something a little bit better is that Black Eyed Peas have been in Israel.
Well, you know, Will.i.am says he likes to come here because he feels like he's amongst Mishpocha. I'm absolutely tickled pink that he said Mishpocha and not Mishpacha, because that's some good Yiddish for you right there. But the Black Eyed Peas being the first major international act to play in Israel this week. And Will.i.am in concert sending a shout out to those who protect the safety of Israel's citizens. Now, who could they be?
That is amazing.
Absolutely amazing. Speaking in Hebrew, speaking in Yiddish, speaking quite vocally about his love for Israel and the Jewish people, how it's always been his dream to come here. He's been here. He won't stop coming here. And I use Will.i.am as the example because he speaks on behalf of the band. So it's the feeling of the band. And that they've got a lot of investments in Israeli tech, as all smart people do. And that politics are not going to dictate what they do. Having said that, they said they would be delighted to play for the Palestinians, but I don't know. Would Hamas allow a song that says raise your cup, mazel tov? I don't know.
I don't know either. Finally, it is a Hanukkah in Israel. Well, it's Hanukkah all around the world. What does it look like? What does Israel look like over Hanukkah?
Well, Israel looks absolutely calorific, if I may just say so myself. I really think that bakeries have symposiums during the year to discuss how they are going to outdo themselves from the year before with flavors of sufganiyot. But it's very, very festive. You know, everybody's out at friends and family and spending time with loved ones. lighting candles. It was beautiful to see last week friends of Witsa hosting Hanukkah parties to benefit those in domestic shelters in the name of Eli Kay. May his memory be blessed. A lot of events around the country held in the name and in the memory of Eli Kay, that even through the darkest tragedy, we will make sure that there is light. Here in the city of the Maccabees, very, very proud of our heritage. We've just opened the Hachashmonaim Museum. Yes, people, Moti Inn has a museum. I mean, wow, just not coming up in the world here, Howard.
Unbelievable.
But very, very festive, fun and calorific.
It is 8 o'clock. Rolien Marks wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a Chanukah Sameach, and we'll catch you next week. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.